First Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 24. Verse number 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. That means disciplined in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air. So Apostle Paul is saying, even as I'm running, I mean, even as I'm disciplining my body, I am not doing it in the air with uncertainty. I know what I'm doing and I know what I'm supposed to do. Even as I'm fighting, I am not beating in the air. I am hitting the bull's eye. I know what to do, where to do, and what not to do. And I know the discipline areas, the disciplining areas I need to discipline myself. It's not like other religions where you are blinded and you just do what rituals you are commanded to do. But he's saying, I know I am not beating in the air. There is a leading spirit, Holy Spirit leading me into that discipline. Then he says, verse number 27, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Hallelujah. Wow. He is saying, while doing ministry and teaching others, I myself can be disqualified if I don't discipline this flesh, if I don't discipline my body. Now, what is the thing about flesh? What is the thing about body? Man was made with clay. He was made with the dirt, with the mud. Okay? And that is how God made man. That is how God made Adam. But the Bible says, he breathed his breath into man, and man became a living being. So there were two controlling factors that the man was created with. But when God created Adam, the factor that would control Adam's life was the Ruach Elohim, the breath of God, the spirit of God that God placed in him. That is the one that gave him life. When he made man with the mud, with the dirt, the body, there was no life, but the Ruach Elohim gave the man life, and the man became a living soul. He had a mind, he had a soul, he had feelings, he had, you know, I have talked about the soul, which is the mind is a part of the soul and all those stuff. But that is when God created man, he said, okay, like when the manufacturers create a car, you manufacture a car, they place an engine and they say, okay, this engine will drive the car. This is the driving force of the car. So when God created man, God created man, and the driving force was his own spirit. The leading force was the spirit of God, was the Ruach Elohim, was the breath of God, the Holy Spirit, was the driving force of a man. Okay? Are you listening to me? So the driving force that God has, the Holy Spirit has a voice. But there was another force into the picture. You know, the devil cannot have his ways in the man unless there is an aligning force in man itself that aligns with the voice of the devil. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. So what I am saying is, if you tell me, Apostle Rao, let's go and let's have an ice cream. If I don't have a desire, or if I don't like ice cream at all, I will not come with you and eat the ice cream. But if there is a desire in my, you know, I like ice cream. So something in me aligns with you. Are you understanding that? Something in me aligns with you. So if you say, let's say, if you are an alcoholic, and there is something in me that aligns with you, you say, let's go to have alcohol, maybe first, but if there is a desire to drink alcohol, one day I will come with you, because there is something in me that is similar to what is in you. Are we understanding that? So when man was created, the flesh of the man, the body of the man had alignment with the forces of the enemy, with the desires of the devil, the body of the man. Okay? The devil was not inside of Eve. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. Adam was created in the image of God. Eve was created through the rib and all those stuff, but they were created in the image of God, with the Spirit of God leading them, with the Spirit of God leading them. But what started to lead them to fall from the presence of God was the voice of the flesh, was the craving of the flesh. Are we understanding that? So, even as the leading force of God, that is the Holy Spirit has a voice, even the flesh has a voice. The flesh can tell you to do things. The body can tell you to do things. The flesh has a voice. Are we together? The flesh has a voice. And it is the flesh that compels a man to sin. It is the flesh. It's nothing else but the flesh that compels the man, a man to sin. So, okay? So in the Garden of Eden, it was the flesh's voice that was giving thoughts, aligning with the devil's desire for the man, for the woman to fall. It was good for food. It looks good. This is the voice of the flesh. The voice of the flesh is like, you can drink alcohol a little bit. Okay, you can go with them. Those are the voice of the flesh. Tonight we have to understand that the flesh has a voice. And tonight we have to understand that when some thoughts come to us and we feel like doing something, which voice it is? Is it the voice of the Holy Spirit or is it the voice of our flesh? Oh no, you know what? That is the voice of the flesh. Oh no, you can watch those pictures. You can watch those half-naked movies. You can watch the photo. No. Watch those. You know, the flesh craves for satisfaction. So the flesh leads to pornography. Are we understanding that? And the person who is giving into feeding the flesh every day. You know, even science has proved that a person who watches pornography continuously is led to a debased mind. His mind becomes corrupt. He cannot concentrate on things. And that is what the devil is trying to do to this generation. He wants to raise up a fleshy generation, very fleshy, who are given up to the desires of the flesh. That's why Apostle Paul says, I do not listen to my flesh. That is disciplining his body. I do not listen to my flesh. I do not listen to my flesh. Are we understanding that? Let me take you to some verses. I've already taken those verses in the last sermon. Romans chapter number 7. And let's skip all those things. The first many verses. And let's start from verse number 17, Romans 7, 17. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. You see that? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. So there is an automation machine, that is the flesh. We are certainly pulled to do the wrong things. We know the right things, but we are pulled to do the wrong things because we have not trained our mind to be influenced by the Spirit. Our mind is mostly influenced by the flesh. Are we together? Hallelujah. Okay, verse number 20. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. If I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. The Bible says the one of the greatest apostle who wrote scripture, he says that I know that evil is present with me. But you will hear nowadays preachers saying, you are not evil, you are not bad, you are the most beautiful person, you are the most fantastic person, you have no sin, and all those stuff. Those preachings will not feed your spirit, it will feed your flesh, because the preaching of the word of God, you know, the word of God is a sword, is a living sword that pierces through the bone and the marrow and the soul and the spirit, through the division of that, and reveals, exposes evil. If evil in us is not exposed, if we don't come to the realization that there is a lot of layers of dirt inside of us that needs to get rid of, we are not hearing God. We are not hearing God. If every day the word of God is not leading us to sanctification and to holiness and to discover evil and to root it out and become more like Christ, we are not hearing the voice of God. Are we understanding that? So Apostle Paul, I know that evil is present in me. There is nothing good that dwells in my flesh. You understand that? There is nothing good that dwells in my flesh, he says. Now, verse number 21, I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, the spirit man he's talking about. But I see another law in my members. Members means flesh. Warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death, because the flesh leads to sin. The body leads to death. And if we are given up to the cravings of the body, to the voice of the flesh, it will take us towards death, even though we believe in Christ. We have to discipline the flesh. Okay. Romans chapter number 8. Let's jump. So carnal mind is the mind influenced by the flesh. I told that. Because flesh has a mind, and every time, you know, we blame demons and devil, the devil did that. No, the devil is not to be blamed every time. We have to understand that we are following our flesh. There is something within us. There is something within us that aligns with the devil. And if we are given up to the flesh, the devil will find alignment and he will have his ways through us, like he had with his ways through Eve. You see, the servants of God that fell to in sin, like David fell in sin. How he fell in sin? The Bible says, when kings go to war, at that time David was lazy in his room. David did not go to work. Okay, he sent other people, go to war, I will relax. You know, and that was the time of war, when kings go to war actually. So when he was supposed to be on an assignment, he was not on an assignment. He was doing something else. Hallelujah. So you have to understand, when you are not in God's times and season, you might be in the devil's trap. So it's better to find yourself or keep yourself in God's assignment. When it is time for you to do God's assignment, when it is time for you to go to war, you have to go to war. When God allows you to relax, you have to relax. But when it was time for kings to go to war, David was relaxing, and the Bible says he was going around in his house and he looked through and he saw a woman bathing. And his flesh started to speak. His flesh started to crave to have that woman. And that is how he fell into, sin. Are we understanding that? The flesh has nothing to do with the anointing. The flesh does not respect your anointing. The demon don't respect your anointing. Do you know that? They don't respect your anointing. Satan does not respect anyone anointing. How can you say that? Read your Bible carefully. It was Jesus the devil came to test the flesh. Said, if you are hungry, turn these stones into bread. This. And it even says the devil took Jesus. So Jesus was the Son of God, but yet the devil tempted him through the flesh. So don't think that I am anointed, nothing will happen to me, because the devil is no respecter of any man or any woman or any anointing. He will come and he will try to find alignment with you. However great things you have done for God, or however anointed you and me can be, he will come and he will find alignment in the flesh. And if he gets an alignment, he will use our eyes, he will use our mouth, he will use our ears, he will use our hands, he will use our legs for his kingdom. If he finds alignment in us in the flesh, are we understanding until now? So Romans chapter number 8, verse number 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. If Christ is in you, the body, the flesh is what? Dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. Hallelujah. That's why Apostle Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So if Christ is really in us, how to evaluate that? The flesh should be put to death. I'm not saying stop eating food, but the voice, I'm not saying stop doing this, doing that, but your mind is not given up to feeding the flesh, to the cravings of the flesh. Your mind is given to the leading of the spirit. Okay. So if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Christ, or who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, or to live according to the flesh. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the Spirit. Okay, stop there. So you see that if you live by the flesh, you will die. If you are given up to the voice of the flesh leading your eyes, it will bring death. If you are given up to the voice of the flesh leading your mouth to say anything, you are going towards destruction. If you are given up to the voice of the flesh leading your hands, leading your... You cannot be controlled by the flesh, by the voice of the flesh. And the voice of the flesh will take you to sin, will take you to the things that are contrary to the word of God. But by the Spirit, the Bible says, we put to death the members of the flesh. So the Holy Spirit does not even only gives you gifts to function in the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to put your flesh to death. Hallelujah. Everyone say, the Holy Spirit gives me power to put my flesh to death. The Holy Spirit gives me power by the Spirit. Hallelujah. To put my flesh to death.
The Holy Spirit gives me power by the Spirit to put my flesh to death.
Yes. You are struggling with sin. You are struggling with your eyes. You are struggling with some habit. The Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, put that member to death. Put that area, the member of your flesh to death. It says, by the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God, you can put your flesh to death. Okay? What is the law that operates through the flesh? The law that operates through the flesh is the law of sin and death. And if you continue to feed that flesh and listen to your flesh, the flesh will take you to a debased mind, to a mind that is not able to concentrate. Can you see that? There is a report that has come. It's true. You know, cooperates and companies, the people that they are hiring, the young people, the Gen Zs, you know, the young ones of this generation, they are not able to carry out work in the offices. Some of them are in depression, some of them are addicted to some things. They cannot work properly because they cannot concentrate on work. They cannot concentrate on a given task because their They are given up to the cravings of the flesh. If a person who is given up to the craving of the flesh is led to a corrupt, debased, useless mind, their mind starts to get useless. Those who are given up to pornography, the devil starts to create holes in their mind. They start to lose concentration. They cannot read the Bible. They cannot reading the Bible. They cannot remember things. They cannot concentrate on a given task. You understand that? And that is how the devil is making the devil is bringing laws that wants to make people robots. Because if people are not able to work and feed their bellies and earn a living, then they have to give themselves to a certain system. And the certain system will start to feed them. But they will say, we will give you your living, but you have to take our mark. There comes the mark of the beast. So the enemy wants to raise up a fleshy generation, but God is raising up a spirit generation, a Holy Spirit generation. God is raising up a spirit breed that will not be given up. They will be in the right minds. They will have discernment. They can discern between the right and the wrong. They will have wisdom. They will have knowledge. They will have capacity to pray. They will have capacity to stand in the war. They will have capacity to concentrate. That is a spirit generation. That is a spirit breed. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? If you meditate on the word and feed your spirit in your younger days, I am telling you, even though when you are 80, you will not lose your mind. 85, you will not lose your mind. 90, 9500 years old, you will not lose your mind if you have fed your spirit. I have seen men of God who are in their 80s. They think better than a younger person. They act better than a younger person because they have fed their spirit. Are we understanding that? Feed your spirit and not your flesh. Listen to your spirit. Obey the spirit man. Obey the Holy Spirit. Obey the word. And you will not see the difference. Oh, you know, Christians are like, I am obeying the word. Nothing is happening. You know, brother, you told me that I did that, but I did not get what I wanted. It's not fast food. It's not noodles. It's not fast food. It will take a lot of time because it's like a mustard seed. It will take a lot of time to become the mustard tree. But you will see the difference even as years go by. You know, study the life of the servants of God. Things did not manifest, but when they became old, you know, it manifested their labor, the work, the time they spent with God, like Apostle Paul. I'm telling you, Apostle Paul was not as Jeremiah was, so was Apostle Paul. He was not the most famous pastor in his time, or he was not the most famous apostle having this many people and mega churches. He used to plant churches, and most of the churches he planted was not auditoriums, was house churches. Read your Bible carefully. It was churches in the house. But his impact is seen after his death. His writings became the scriptures that God used to that is the highest authority a man can have on earth, to write scripture. And you see how many scriptures he wrote? Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? But he fed his spirit. He is talking about these things because he knows it. He fed his spirit and did not obey the voice of the flesh. So few more verses about this. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 14. Romans chapter number 6. Okay, let's go a little bit before verse number 14. Verse number 8. Now if we died with Christ, verse number 8. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Okay? So that is one of the things that Christians do is completely wrong, and it's also demonic. that they crucify Christ on the cross. It says he died once and for all. So we do not crucify him again and again. It's done. So we do not put him on the cross again. We do not put him on the cross again. Because the Bible says when he died once and for all. That's it. That one that defeated the devil. The one that he died and he was raised again. Okay, any which ways, let's go ahead. Verse number 11. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members. Now, this is important. Do not present your members. What members? Our eyes, our mouth, our hands, our the members of the flesh. Do not present our members as instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. How you will do that? You will do that by following Romans chapter number 12. Offer your lives, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto him, for this is your reasonable service. The body should be offered to God. The eyes should be offered. Whenever your eyes, your flesh leads your eyes, no, my eyes are offered. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes that I will not sin against you, O Lord. Hallelujah. That is disciplining the body. Verse number 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we are under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Whoever you listen to, you are a slave to that person. If you listen to the flesh, you are a slave of the flesh. If you listen to God, you become a slave of righteousness. That is what it says here. And you are not slaves of sin because you have received and obeyed the doctrine of the Word of God. Hallelujah. The doctrine of the Word of God that will bring understanding unto you. The doctrine, the understanding of the Word of God. The ways of the Holy Spirit that will bring understanding to your mind for you to be delivered from sin. Okay, hallelujah. All right. Let's come to the watchman. I was on Ezekiel chapter number 9. Let's go there. Ezekiel chapter number 9. Ezekiel chapter number 9. And there is something happening in Ezekiel chapter number 9. Now, a quick recap. The primary role of a watchman is not to watch. That's the responsibility. A primary role, the first steps of a watchman, I told last meeting, the first steps, the role of the watchman is to distinguish himself or herself from the world. Be separate, be distinguished from the world. That is what we saw when God was talking to Ezekiel and leading him into the watchman role. Ezekiel was a watchman for Israel. Okay? And that is what we saw. God told him that do not be rebellious and stubborn like Israel. You should not be like them. You should be different. You should be distinguished from them. Okay, that is the first step to be a watchman. Do not be influenced by the world. Do not be even influenced by Christians in your church. You have to set your standard as per the word, as per your calling, as per the word of God, as per the voice of God to you. That is the first step to be a watchman, to distinguish yourself from the world. Are we understanding that? The second step to be a watchman is not to watch. That is the responsibility. The second step is to eat and digest the word. We saw that in the last meeting. Afterwards, you can read the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 2. Okay? And chapter number 2 and 3. God said, before Ezekiel became a watchman, God gave him a book that was written with ink, a scroll that was written outside and inside. And he said, okay, eat the scroll. So he ate the scroll. It was like sweet as honey in his mouth when he ate the scroll. After he ate the scroll, God said, okay. After he digested the scroll, God said, okay, you are ready to be a watchman. So you need to eat the word. Some people only read the word. You need to eat the word. Are we understanding that? Eat the word. Eat the whole food that is given in front of you. Eat it. Let it go inside. Let it take some time to digest. When you eat the solid word, it will take some time to digest. You know, like when we eat meat, it takes some time to digest, maybe 7 hours, 8 hours. So you have to eat the word for you to be a watchman. What is eating the word? Eating the word is, first of all, before you say the word, you taste the word. You see what the word does to your life. You see what the word does to your heart. You see what things it brings out from you. You see what torment is it brings to your flesh. You experience the word first. You digest the word first. So the watchman, first of all, has to be distinguished from the world. And secondly, the watchman has to eat the word. In the book of John, John ate the scroll again. He ate the scroll. It says it was sweet as honey in his mouth. It was bitter in his stomach. So when the word processes itself, the experience is bitter. It torments your flesh. It's like an operation. It takes out things from you. And when the word has worked, it's not like I came out from my mother's womb, I became a prophet. No. First, the word, you have to digest, eat the word, digest the word. And after that, God gives you the watchman roles. Those are the prerequisites for the watchman ministry. Okay, and then we saw the watchman is a mouthpiece. And then what I was on is Ezekiel chapter number 9, the writer's ink horn. What the benefit that a watchman has, the benefit, listen to me, it's very important. The benefit that the watchman has, I'm making a statement, is when calamity hits the world, it will not affect the watchman. When pandemic hits the world, it will not affect the watchman. When crisis, economic crash hits the world, it will not affect the watchman, because a watchman is marked by the ink of the word of God. The watchman is marked. So that is what is happening in Ezekiel chapter number 9. Okay, Ezekiel chapter number 9. Then he called out in my verse number 1, in my hearing with a loud voice, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly 6 men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. Writer's inkhorn. I explained this, but let me go ahead with this. Writer's inkhorn. So, I told you in the book of Revelation chapter number 1, when John looks at Jesus, he does not even recognize this is Jesus. He was with Jesus on earth, but when John meets up with Jesus, he does not even recognize this, but he describes the man that he sees. But it was Jesus whom he lived with. He leaned on the chest of Jesus when he was alive. He was so close to Jesus. He knew the face, he knew his body, but he did not recognize this man because Jesus was in his eternity form. That is the revelation of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter number 1. The same man that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter number 10. Now, one of the things that he had, the breastplate of gold and all those stuff, but something that he saw that he did not saw in his days on earth was his hair was white like wool. His hair was white like wool. What that does? Very white. No man on earth has that white hair that Jesus had. in eternity form, white like wool, very white. Oh, like wool. He had to describe and use a word to give description to what he saw. So he used wool, white wool. What does that signify? It signifies aging. That means he is very old. He is the Ancient of Days. He was there before the world began. He existed from eternity. And it signifies the wisdom of the ancient. Now, listen to me. Now, he existed even before angels were created. But when God started to create the angels, the cherubims, the seraphims, and he started to create the creation and all those stuff, he had to release, he created everything with that ancient wisdom. With that ancient wisdom. Listen to me. Now, when he created the angels, he wanted the angels to function with his wisdom. He created the cherubims. He wanted the cherubims to function with through his ancient wisdom. He wanted the seraphims. He wanted the workings in the heaven, the administration system in the third heaven, the tabernacle, this and that. He wanted everything to function with his wisdom. Even when he created man, he wanted to have the man function with his wisdom. Now, for God to release wisdom, the medium that he uses is the writer's ink. He writes with the ink. Are we understanding? Listen to me. Okay? There are scrolls that are made in heaven and they are written with ink. Where is that? It's there in Revelation chapter number 4 and 5. Remember, there was a scroll. It had 7 seals on them. And there was no one worthy to open that scroll because it was sealed. Who wrote that scroll? It was God. Who wrote the first time Moses went up to the mountain? Who wrote on the tablet of stones? Who gave him the tablet? God himself wrote it. Oh, hallelujah. Who wrote on the wall of Belshazzar? When Belshazzar was king, a hand came and wrote, Mene, mene, tekel, epharsin. Came and wrote. Who was that? It was God writing with his ink. Hallelujah. You understand that? That is the ink. So when he wants to translate his wisdom to words, he uses ink. He uses the writer's ink. They did not understand what was written. They had to call Daniel, and Daniel said, this is Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Mene, Mene means your kingdom is numbered, destroyed. And then he explained those writings. Because only the one who walks in his word can understand his writings. Only the one who submits, who surrenders to the word, can understand the writings. And a watchman is the one who has the mark of his ink. That means they are the one who have aligned completely to the wisdom of the Ancient of Days, and they are the one who walk in the wisdom of the ancient. So here what is happening, God said to those territorial spirits, and then to the person clothed in linen having the writer's ink on, what he said, verse number 3, we are on Ezekiel chapter number 9, verse number 3. He said, now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's ink horn at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. Put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the others, he said, in my hearing, go after him through the city and kill, and do not let your eyes spare, and nor have any spirit, any pity on people. So what you see the scripture, you heard it. The man with linen, with the writer's ink horn, was the leader. So even as he goes, listen to me, like this is the leader. And these are four or five other angels, four or five other territorial spirits. So they will not go first to destroy. The man with the ink will go first. And he will mark first He will mark the watchman. He will mark the intercessors first. Okay, he will go. After he is done, then the destruction will come. You understand that? So God marks his people before and covers his people before a calamity hits the areas, hits the earth. Wow. Hallelujah. So, can you say amen? Are you understanding that? Hallelujah. Like Sister Vetonia explained, she told me.
Amen.
She told me that she saw. Now, this is not something that we don't care about others, that Lord. No. It's not like that. It's a benefit. It's a reward that you will have when you are a watchman. It's a reward that you will have when you are an intercessor. You will see buildings falling down around you, but your will stand because you are marked. Your possession is marked. Your children, you know, you are marked by the writers. And the one who is marked by the ink, God will not allow the calamity to come near them. It's like it's the power of the blood, it's the power of his word. Hallelujah. So before this destruction will never come before you are marked. That is the reward. You know, that is what people don't understand. Oh, brother, I am praying. Oh, brother, I have been watching. I have been interceding. But I see my neighbors having money. I see them enjoying. No. You are expecting things in the flesh. When God rewards you, he will reward you with spiritual rewards. Hallelujah. And those rewards are better than the fleshy rewards, I'm telling you. It's better than having a big car and all those stuff. It's protection. It's life. It's peace that he will bless you with. Hallelujah. Even as the economy crashes, everyone will be, but you are marked, you will have peace. That spirit of confusion will not enter your heart. That spirit of fear will not enter you, because a watchman is marked. That is the benefit that a watchman gets. God will not give you Lamborghini cars and billion-dollar houses. No. He will mark you, and the mark comes with benefits. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those with money, more money than you, you will see them throwing their money on the streets, but you will see yourself secure in the presence of God because you are marked. The money will not save them. Their property will not save them. Their influence will not save them. Their fame, those people who clapped for them, they will not come to the rescue, you will see. But you who trusted in God and kept quiet and lived for God, you will see God proving himself on behalf of you. You will see the benefits, I'm telling you. And the benefits you will see when fire comes in. Others will be burned by fire. You will see yourself walking in the fire. That is when you will see the difference. Hallelujah. That is when you will see the difference, I'm telling you. Okay, the writer's ink horn signifies the word, the medium through which he used to translate wisdom, and those people were marked with that. Those intercessors, those watchmen in the city of Jerusalem were marked with that. So first, what God said to those spirits, he said, you know what, in verse number 4, and the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads. Okay, who sigh and cry. Verse number 5, to the others, he said, the other people, the 6 men, how many men? With deadly weapon, they were standing there to destroy and kill everyone. He said to them, to the others, he said in my hearing, go after him. After him what? Who? The writers, that man with linen. That angel, after him you go. And after he has done his work, you follow him and kill everyone. Hallelujah. And utterly, okay, let's not go there. So that is what it says. Now, that is the benefit of a watchman. A watchman is covered. A watchman is protected. Intercessor, a watchman is protected. The next thing is the watching ministry of the watchman. The next thing is the what? Watching ministry of the watchman. Do you know? When a watchman watches, just watches in the spirit, what is watching? And we will come to that. When a watchman watches, the law. It's like, be still and know that I am God that is watching. You are still in the presence of God and you are just waiting for God to fight and to destroy the enemy. So that is watching. That is watching. You are just still. Lord, I will not be afraid. Lord, I will not be worried. I will not be confused. I will not try to do anything. But I am watching. I call on your name and I am watching for you to fight the battle. I am just still. I am watching. And when you understand the meaning of watching is to be still in the spirit. Are you understanding? Is to be what? To be still in the spirit. And when you are still in the spirit and you are watching, God's star, you will see God destroying the enemy, destroying the army of darkness. You will see God pulling down stronghold. When you understand and learn to watch, the watching of a watchman. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter number 21. The watching. Remember Jesus said, watch and pray. The watching of a watchman is powerful. When a watchman understands that he needs to watch. Isaiah chapter number 21. Isaiah chapter number 21, verse number 6 to 9. For thus has the Lord said to me, go, set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. So the watchman is seeing, the watchman is watching. And whatever he's watching, he's declaring. He's just still and watching. He's doing nothing but watch. The job of a watchman is to watch. But let me teach you the significance, the revelation of watching. God is saying to his servant Isaiah, go set a watchman, let him declare what he sees. And what he saw? He saw a chariot with a pair of horsemen, a chariot of donkeys, and a chariot of camels. And he listened earnestly with great care. So he's watching, he's listening. That is watching. He's seeing these things. Then he cried, a lion, my Lord! I stand continually on the watchtower in the daylight. I have sat at my post every night. And look, here comes a chariot of men with a pair of horsemen. Then he answered and said, Babylon is fallen. And all the carved images of her gods, he has broken to the ground. Hallelujah. You see that while he is watching, while a watchman watches, the watchman is not fighting. The watchman is not worrying what to do, how to fight the enemy. He is just watching. And while he watches, by the power of a watching of a watchman, he sees an ancient stronghold being destroyed by spiritual forces of heaven. Are you understanding that? You have to understand just to watch sometimes. I'm not talking about prayer. I'm talking about watching. Let me show you another verse. What is watching? You will learn that. What is watching? Turn with me, everyone. Exodus 14. Before you turn to Exodus 14, I want everyone to say, I have to watch. Everyone say, I have to watch.
I have to watch.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me make you understand what is watching. Exodus chapter number 14. Exodus chapter number 14. Okay, and verse number 12 and 13. 12 and 13. Exodus 14, verse number 12 and 13. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? This is Israel, very afraid, you know. We want to serve the Egyptians. Moses, why did you bring us out? That is the word. Let us alone, verse number 12, that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Verse number 13, important. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see, that is watch, the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Why are you worrying? Why are you overthinking? Be still and watch. And when you be still and you will just watch and do nothing and just see, God, I am waiting for you to do it. You will see what? The salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptian whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Hallelujah. That is the power of watching. I want to tell you tonight, you just be still and see your and watch what God does to the ancient demonic spirit that ruled you. Just watch. Lord, I'm watching. Do you understand that now? What did Moses say? Don't overthink. Don't think negative things. Be still in a position where you are leaning on the Lord. You are completely, and stand still and see, the Lord will come and fight. You just see the destruction. You just enjoy. It's like you are sitting on the most expensive seat in a movie theater, and you are watching what the Lord is doing. You don't do anything. You just stand still, trust, have faith, and you will start to see. I have seen the Lord fighting the battles. I have seen his army destroying demonic forces that came against me. I have seen the salvation of the Lord. I have seen the Lord, the man of war, getting victories on my behalf. You have to watch. Hallelujah. That is the power of a watchman. He watches and he's, hallelujah. Are we understanding that now? So this is not prayer, this is watching. Many people are, I am praying, but there are so many thoughts in their mind, this and that, worries, tension. You cannot pray with tension. You cannot. You have to come in a position where you are quite still. Your mind is still. And Lord, I trust you. I will not speak a word. I am getting persecuted. I will not speak a word. I am just still. I just wait for your time. I just watch. And you will see Babylon falling down. Hallelujah. That is the power of the watching of a watchman. That is the power of the watching of a watchman. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? Okay. Isaiah chapter number 62. Isaiah chapter number 62. Let's go there. Verse number 6, Isaiah chapter number 62. Verse number 6, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. God himself has set watchmen on the walls. Okay, watchmen are standing on walls. Watchmen stand on the stronghold of the heavenly system. They are on the top of the walls. They are the ones having distant vision. They can see. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, and give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Hallelujah. Now the watchmen, you see that verse we read before this in Isaiah chapter number 21. What watchmen do is, yeah, they are still, but they see and they declare. They see and they declare. They see and they declare. It says, the watchmen who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. Means see and declare. See and declare. What you are declaring, declarations you are doing are the utterances that are exposing the enemy. Okay, that is watching and praying, club together with prayer, declaring, see and declare. Like I pray when I see certain things, the enemy, the spirits exposed, I declare it. So I am watching, I am praying, I am watching, I am praying, I am watching, I am praying. Hallelujah. And even as you see and declare, what is happening is God gets a way through your ministry. God has a way through your ministry, and he is able to establish the spiritual ancient civilization of Jerusalem. I have talked about the city of Jerusalem. The original city is there up in the third heaven. The Jerusalem that God made on earth was a copy of the city that is there. And And there is coming the time when our Lord will come back. He will take us through the gates of the original city. So don't worry, even if you did not visit Jerusalem here in Israel, you will get to visit Jerusalem if you make it there, the original city. And there is no tour prices for that. Hallelujah. You will, the Lord Jesus will take you there. Forever you will live there. So our original destination is Jerusalem. It's not India. It's not America. It's not Canada. It's not Africa. It's Jerusalem. So even when you watch and pray, the Lord gets a foothold on the earth where he will be able to establish the ancient system of Jerusalem in the nations of the earth. So for God to establish his kingdom, we need to have watchmen on the wall who watch and pray, who watch and pray, who watch and who wait. And when a watchman watches, that is the time God, the darkness is loosened because of the watching of the watchman, because of the declaration of the watchman, and God is able to come down and bring down walls that the enemy has created in the cities, in the villages, in the nations. You see, when the watchman was watching in Isaiah, what did he see? He saw chariots, he saw warfare, and then he saw Babylon is fallen. That is how Babylon will fall, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. When the watchmen watch, revelation will come to pass. Revelation, the Babylon will fall, right? The harlot will be taken down. The Babylon will fall, and all the merchants who made money from Babylon, they will weep. Money has gone. Wealth is gone. It's not giving them peace. Why? Because we watchmen were watching. Let me show you another verse. Daniel. Hallelujah. The book of Daniel. And let's go, Daniel, Hosea. Okay, the book of Daniel, chapter number 4, verse number 17. Okay, verse number 17. Now, you know the Daniel chapter number 4? Nebuchadnezzar saw another dream, the second dream, where there was a huge tree and all those birds came and find shelter. The animals came find shelter. That tree was cut down, you know, and the stump was left. That is the dream. And after that, he saw the dream, verse number 17. It says that thing that happened, this decision is by the decree of the watchers. Oh, hallelujah. You see that? That itself is powerful. Nebuchadnezzar was made a madman, that mighty king. How did that happen? That happened by the what? Decree. The watchmen saw things. Who were the watchmen? Those four guys, young guys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were the watchmen. How did Nebuchadnezzar? So a watchman is more powerful than the most influential man on this earth. That is the power of a watchman. Hallelujah. He can bring down. Hallelujah. If the church realizes that they need to have watchmen. I'm teaching this sermon, I told you last meeting, because God told me to teach it. Because God told me you need to teach and tell people here in this meeting that each one of you is a watchman. You need to take the position of a watchman for your nation, for your city. It says the decision of this cutting Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom and rule and authority was by the decree of the watchers and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, gives it to whomever he wills, and he sets over it the lowest of men. So the watchmen reveal the will of God to the proud and to the arrogant and to the mighty of the earth. Are we understanding that? The watchmen reveal the might of the greatest king of kings to the kings of the earth. The watchmen do that. It was by the decree of the watchmen and the sentences of the holy ones. Wow. Agreement of two and more watchers. When watchmen come together, they agree, they decree, they declare. God is going to manifest his might and bring the proud and the arrogant like Nebuchadnezzar down, is by the decree of the watchman. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Okay. Matthew's chapter number 26, verse number 41. Matthew's chapter number 26, verse, let's not go there quickly, but it's when the disciples were there, Jesus told them, watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. So like David, when we are supposed to watch and pray, but we are doing something else, we will fall into temptation. So are we understanding that? So when it is time for us to be in prayer, we have to be in the prayer. The day I want to do something else and not do that, we fall into sin. So I'm trying to make you understand, watch and pray. This is the time to watch and pray. If you don't watch and pray, you will enter into temptation. You will do something else that will lead you into the bondage of sin. When it is time for me to be in the house of the Lord, to be among his people, but I say, I want to go with my friends because we have a picnic, I will fall into sin there because I was not here in the house of the Lord where God wanted me to be. Watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. So a watchman's job is to follow the schedule of the Lord, to follow, to be in the place where God wants him to be, to be at work. Are we understanding that? Watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. Another thing that the watchmen do is the watchmen wait expectantly for God's purposes to manifest. The watchmen wait expectantly for God's purposes to manifest. Isaiah chapter number 52. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter number 52. Verse number 8. Your watchmen shall lift up their voices. With their voices they shall sing together. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings back Zion. So the watchmen, you know, the Bible says the spirit and the bride says, come, Lord Jesus, come. That is a watchman role that it is talking about. That people are... those people are expectantly waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was born on this earth, his the will of God was that Jesus should be born on this earth. His son should take the form of flesh. The word should become flesh. That happened because there were watchmen in Jerusalem who fulfilled the role, who were waiting expectantly for many years. They were praying, they were fasting. They did not know what exactly would happen, but the Holy Spirit gave them the burden. No, you have to wait for some purpose of God. And they started to understand what God is going to do. And those two people were Simeon and Anna, who were waiting. And when they saw Jesus, the baby, brought into the temple for consecration, they understood that what they were waiting expectantly for has come to pass. So watchmen are the one who pull the purposes of God. Hallelujah. Who wait expectantly. You know, when you start to put your feet in the shoes of a watchman, your other desires will die down. And what desires will come into your heart, expectations will come into your heart, is for the purposes of God to manifest. You will read a word, you will see Babylon fall. Lord, I want to see Babylon fall. I am waiting for Babylon to fall. Hallelujah. That is what the desire of your heart will become. Luke chapter number 2. Verse number 25 to 38. Luke chapter number 2. Verse number 25 to 38. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He prophesied about Jesus because he was waiting expectantly for Jesus, the Messiah. Now, there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And the woman was a widow of about 84 years. who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So a watchman can recognize seasons. A watchman can recognize when God manifests and starts to shift seasons, start to bring his purposes to pass, because they were waiting expectantly for the things that God showed them. The things that God showed them, they expectantly wait for the manifestation of those things. Watch, watch. If God has showed you something, watch, wait and watch in the spirit. Be still. And Lord, I am waiting and I am watching. I know what you have showed me. You will bring it to pass in front of my eyes. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you watch, be still in that position. And when you understand watching, God is going to destroy the works of the enemy. God is going to manifest his purposes. Hallelujah. Okay. Okay. There are other things. Psalm 127. The Lord is the watchman. 127. Let's go there and then we will pray. Psalm 127. Thank you, Lord. Verse number 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So don't try to watch because, oh, I need to watch. I need to tell people I'm a watchman. But align with the greatest watchman. And let him watch over your life and lead you. It says, if the Lord does not protect your city, your watching is in vain. Hallelujah. So let not watching and praying become a tradition, become a ritual like other people follow. You know, in India, people worship those idols. And when they are worshiping those idols in the festival, they are awake in the night. Not awake to watch, they are awake in the night to play cards, to play music, and to have a good time, chit-chatting and all those things. You know, that is how they watch. So watching should not be as per our own will and like following a tradition, but watching should be led by the Spirit of God, because the Lord is the one watching and he's setting us over territories, over families, over people, so that we can fulfill the job of a watchman. So it's the Lord who is protecting even as we are watching. It says unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's pray. Let's pray. Father, set watchmen over the walls of Jerusalem. You commanded Ezekiel to be a watchman. You commanded Isaiah, Lord, to put watchmen. You commanded Israel in many places to put watchmen, because you want to have watchmen, those who can watch. Not only over cities and walls, but also in for their own families. Let them, for their own lives. Let them learn watching, Lord. Because when we watch, strongholds fall down. You come. The army of heaven comes to fight on our behalf. When we just watch, O Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we don't want to be like Israel, who were terrified and who said, we want to go back. We don't want to go. But Moses told them, be still and watch and see the salvation of the Lord. And tonight and today that the Egyptians you see, you will see no more. Let us learn to watch, Lord. Let us learn to be still, Lord. Stop overthinking, Lord. Stop worrying, Lord. Stop doing this and that. But let us learn to watch and we will see the salvation of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we will see God arise and his enemies be scattered. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let your people learn to watch tonight. Let them learn to watch, Lord, that they will see the enemy that is persecuting them. The spirits, the strongholds falling down, even as they learn to watch, O Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, let us watch, Lord, and declare, let us watch and mention, make mention of the Lord and decree and make declaration of what we see even as we are watching, so that you will be able to establish Jerusalem. You will be able to establish the spiritual city, Jerusalem. Oh, Father, bringing your kingdom by the watching of the watchmen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I just cover each and every person, Lord, in the Lord, your Lord, even those who are not there with the blood of Jesus, we call in those people, Lord, Lord, the devil is deceiving people. The snakes are, Lord, deceiving people, Lord. Some people, when they are supposed to be in the house of God, they are doing something else. But we break the deception of the enemy, Lord. That we bind your works as intercessors. We come together and we pray that you will bring those children of yours, bring those families in the mighty name of Jesus and break every hold of the enemy upon their lives, upon their minds in Jesus' name. The devil knows if they hear the word, they will have deliverance. They will understand what to do, and the devil does not want them to hear that. But I break the work of the enemy. I come against them in the name of Jesus and break every deception. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I call a nation whom I do not know. And nations who do not know me shall come to me, shall run to me because of the Lord my God, because of the Holy One of Israel. We call in the nations. We call in the remnant, Lord, because there is a remnant. There is a remnant. Elijah said, oh, I am the only one. You said, no, Elijah, listen, there is a 7,000 people. There is a remnant who have not bowed down. We call in that remnant, Lord, those warriors. We call them in the name of Jesus. Wherever they are stuck, wherever they are confused, break bondages. And we call them in from the nations, the watchmen, the intercessors, the pastors, the evangelists, the apostles. We call them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, every spirits, every gatekeepers over the nations that block my voice, oh Lord, which is your voice that you have given me, Lord Father, that block the prayers, Lord, to get into the nations and to bring people, we bind those gatekeepers, we bind those spirits, we destroy the powers of darkness. Lord, let the voice of God, let the prophetic voice, the utterance of God be amplified in the nations of the earth. Amplify it, let the wind flow and spread it. Let the wind of the Holy Spirit flow and spread it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I thank you, Lord, Father. Oh, Father, because you have set a mark upon your people and you have preserved them, Father. You continue to show mercy and grace, I ask you, Father. Hallelujah. In your mercy and your grace, you lead us, Lord. For yet another week, I cover all your people with the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. And we give you all glory, all honor, all praise. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.